The familiar Mercator projection, used in maps of the Earth, gives a good idea of distances and directions near the equator, but produces horrible distortions near the poles, with Greenland swelling to many times its actual size. In the same way, it is one sign of being in a gravitational field that there is no one freely falling frame of reference in which gravitational and inertial effects cancel everywhere. Starting with this analogy between gravitation and curvature, Einstein leaped to the conclusion that gravitation is nothing more or less than an effect of the curvature of space and time. To implement this idea, he needed a mathematical theory of curved spaces that went beyond the familiar geometry of the spherical, two-dimensional surface of the Earth. Einstein was the greatest physicist the world has ever seen, since Newton, and he knew as much mathematics as most physicists of his time, but he was not himself a mathematician. Finally, he found just what he needed, ready-made, in a theory of curved space that had been worked out by Riemann and other mathematicians in the previous century. In its final form, the general theory of relativity was just a reinterpretation of the existing mathematics of curved spaces in terms of gravitation, together with a field equation that specified the curvature produced by any given amount of matter and energy. Remarkably, for the small densities and low velocities of the solar system, general relativity gave just the same results as Newton's theory of gravitation, with the two theories distinguished only by tiny effects, like the precession of orbits and the deflection of light. I've more to say later about the beauty of the general theory of relativity. For the present, I hope that I have said enough to give you some feeling for the attractiveness of these ideas. I believe that it is this intrinsic attractiveness that preserved physicists' belief in general relativity during the decades when the evidence from successive eclipse expeditions continued to prove so disappointing. This impression is reinforced when we look to the reception of general relativity in its first few years, before the 1919 eclipse expedition. Most important of all was the reception of general relativity by Einstein himself. In a postcard to the older theorist Arnold Sommerfeld, dated February 8, 1916, 3 years before the eclipse expedition, Einstein commented, "Of the general theory of relativity, you will be convinced once you have studied it. Therefore, I am not going to defend it with a single word." I've no way of knowing to what extent the successful calculation of the precession of Mercury's orbit contributed to Einstein's confidence in general relativity in 1916, but well before then, before he did this calculation,